We don't need now to pray for the Amazon. We need now to act. So if you think that you can do anything in your power to help the situation in Brazil, please do it. Talk to your government, talk to your friends, tell the real situation, and let's make the world aware.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide?
Hello, friends, hello, folks. I made a promise, and I have kept my word. It is the last Wednesday of the month of August, and this is a new episode of the Climate Talk podcast. My name is Sheyi Fumi Adebote, your green guide on this ride. To those listening for the first time, you are warmly welcome at the Climate Talk podcast. We are a family of thousands of young people eager to learn and very happy to share information about the changing climate. And we place emphasis on climate action that you, the listener, can take to make the world a sustainable place for us and the unborn generation. If you're yet to subscribe, please do so. The subscribe button is somewhere on your device screen, or you could just head straight to the website www.climatetalkpodcast.com, and you'll find the subscribe icon staring right at you. So here's a little bit of background info. What we do on the Climate Talk podcast is to have fact-based conversations with climate actors, innovators, policymakers, politicians, and every other stakeholder you may have. And I always love to stress that the ultimate aim is to ensure that you understand how climate change affects you and know what to do to address climate change. And remember, no action is too small.
Every moment gets better. I'll chase them anywhere. There's time.
Climate change is real, and it's getting clearer day by day. Perhaps with every passing minute, the impact is being felt in different ways by millions of people on this planet. On this episode of the Climate Talk podcast, I take a trip right into the fire. Yes, the fire that has brought down a sizable portion of the Amazon rainforest, which is said to supply 20% of the world's oxygen. What exactly is happening in the Amazon rainforest? How do you explain that a disaster such as this seems to be politicized? How do you explain that the international response did not come into the picture early enough? How do you explain that this happened during the Latin America Climate Week, when all the Latin American leaders came together to discuss the way forward for the environment? This is a very difficult task that my guest, 27-year-old Paloma Costa, takes on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast.
On a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new
My name is Paloma. I coordinate the working group of climate changes from Engaja Mundo. Engaja Mundo is a youth-led organization made from youth to youth, so we can go to decision makers space and we can talk to them and make our voices be heard. I also co-fund a collective of bicycle activists that we go to areas, rural areas that are being impacted for climate changes, and we document the impacts and we share how they are adapting and their histories, making sure that everyone knows that climate changes are real and people are being impacted.
So let's get straight to it. The Amazon, or the Amazon rainforest, as it's also known as. So what exactly is happening?
Well, the thing is, because we are now on the dry season of the year, and the transition of forests that go to the Amazon, like the Cerrado where I live, because I live like in the center of Brazil, in the capital, in Brasilia, where all the Congress and the President are. And this transition of forests needs those moments of fire to renew themselves, you know, to the nature and everything. However, what's happening now is because the increase in deforestation. In the last couple of months, the fire focus, they grew like 83% this month related to the same period in 2018. And this was like the largest increase in 6 years. 2,000 hectares, like almost 200 kilometers of forests were burned. And it was because deforestation, because the natural fire with the forest like laying down because they deforestate and they don't do anything to with the trees that they leave there. The fire spread it so long and it burned everything.
But why is it that things seems to get out of hand right now?
It's because, as I was saying, told you about the deforestation. The fire spread so long that this week, like for example, the smoke flew all the way to São Paulo. Like, São Paulo is the biggest city of Brazil. And everyone was there in the afternoon and the sky went so dark, no one can see anything in the sky. Specialists are saying, as we were reading a lot, because it was a surprise for some of us also, because we were attending the LAC Climate Week and we knew nothing about this also. So when we saw the news on São Paulo, we started like talking to specialists and scientists that were also attending the LAC Climate Week. And they told us that the smoke, it feels mostly because of the phenomenon called flying rivers. I don't know if you know much about it, but it's where the rain from the Amazon comes and to all parts of Brazil. And maybe on these rains and with the wind, the smoke come and took all of the parts of Brazil. And when we saw the situation, the sad part was that the fire was so big, was like 200 kilometers, as I was saying you. And indigenous people were killed, animals were killed, because there was no fiscalization and no controlling of the fire on this time. And the day that I discovered the situation, what was really happening, I was seeing the environmental minister in Black Climate Week, and he said nothing about it. So this make me really sad, because I understand that no one was concerned about it.
Exactly, that's my question. Because I understand, I've read that in the last 12 months, between July 2018 and July 2019, deforestation within the Amazon has risen by 278%. And that's partly because the president of Brazil has given some license, or has worked, not like there was no license to explore the forest of resources, but I think that exploration has now become exploitation that has gone so extreme. And in July alone, there were over 10,000 alerts by the National Institute of Space Research. So it wasn't like we did not see all of this coming. Do you think it's because of some political reasons? Why do you think there was no response even when we foresaw this?
Well, to be honest with you, I have to explain to you a little bit how the situation is in Brazil with the government. You know, from the beginning of the year, like in this 8 months of the and in this 8 months of administration, the government has started like blaming civil society and starting like a narrative that we were terrorists just wanting to serve the interests of international and other angels. And then he started in the Congress to flexibilize the license, the environmental license that we give to big entrepreneurs. And by that he started, like, our license in Brazil was in three parts. Now he wants to do in one part and on internet. and you don't have to do like the environmental studies of the impact of the you know,
environmental assessments.
Yes, and they are taking off it on the law. The situation is like, in 35 years that we were advancing on public policies for the environment, he's like taking everything off, changing all the laws. He made something like, he took 95%
wow.
of the investments on climate, on the ministers. We had like climate secretaries on the ministries, on environmental organs from Brazil, and he finished all the secretaries. For example, I am part of the Climate Council from Brazil. It's called Fórum Brasileiro de Mudanças Climáticas, and now they were working with no money. So if the forum doesn't have money, he cannot policies on climate. He also is blaming the scientists about the data. He say like the scientists doesn't know how to see the data and how to do deforestation, the increasing deforestation, that they are lying. He, for example, Ricardo Galvão, that was the director of INPE, the institute that you said that did the deforestation, he was fired from his position because he said to Bolsonaro, like, man, deforestation is increasing, you can just look the data.
Wow. If Amazon produces as much as 20% of the world oxygen, this should be an issue of global concern. And one would expect that the international communities get to work and see how they can support or give all the help that is needed to stop the fire, so that we do not get to suffer the resultant effects. But is it that the government of Brazil is hindering international communities from doing their bits?
Well, indeed, that's what is the big concern about my government position and everything, because they are not like using international support to make the situation better, you know. They are doing like really anything. They are just blaming NGOs and blaming international community for wanting the Amazon for us not to help, you know. And for example, our environmental minister, he flew to the Amazon and just took photos. Bolsonaro spoke on national television about, he said that the fire is not how the media is putting. He said like it's not real that we didn't put fire in everything, even with other organizations that do their reference to all the impacts. So they are not like believing in it. So I think that like international community has to make like really big pressure to the government and Brazil. Like saying, we are not going to negotiate with you if you do nothing.
Yeah.
Something like
and I really think the Latin America Climate Week would have been the best time to start that conversation, seeing that it brought together world leaders from that region to talk about climate action. But away from that, you as a young person, what are your concerns seeing all what is happening right now?
Well, I have like a special connection to the Amazon because I work like with indigenous people, and a lot of my friends live there, and they have to run away from the territories. They had their lives, some of them were killed because of the fire. And what concerns me a lot, besides of their lives and what they conquer with their territories, is also what is going to be now, you know? Because if we put fire in the Amazon, that is something that the whole world is concerned. And we did this with the concern of our government that is not giving the right attention to what's happening. I have no perspective for a future in my country. I have no perspective even from the for the world, you know, because the Amazon has a important role in everything. So I really don't think we are going to survive with big damage. Yes, I was talking like in the last climate week with a guy and his colleague Carlos Nobre. He made a study recent that he said that if the Amazon gets deforested to 20% or 25%, it will all start to become like seven, like desert, and now we were in 18%, and now we burned like 200 kilometers, 2,000 hectares. It's too much. We are getting there, and it pisses me so much that people like in La Climate Week were only talking, they were talking like about strategies of the adaptation. It was like a big commercial of what cities in Brazil are doing. But they are doing nothing indeed.
So you're trying to say most of the conversations at the Latin America Climate Week did not really reflect issues of indigenous communities? Did it also leave out issues of gender? Did it leave out issues of youth representation? What exactly was the climate, the LAC week like?
To be honest to you, we heard in the beginning of the conference that 5,000 people were inscribed to attend the climate week. And I work with indigenous people, and I know a lot of them, and I could not even see one in there. Like, if there were one, it was too much. And also youth, the big delegation was mine. We were 20 youth delegates. And we were with some friends from Latin America, but they were few because Commission Brazil is really expensive also.
As youth representatives at the Latin America Climate Week, what was your impact?
I think the biggest impact was when we made like an act in the middle of the conference to talk about the data. And on that day, that was Tuesday, 1 week before, we made like the monkeys saying about that the INPI cannot speak the data. IBAMA, that is the environmental organ responsible for fiscalization, cannot fiscalize because it doesn't have money to go to do the fiscalization, and the government is not listening. So we made this statement in the middle of the conference, and a lot of people like stopped and started talking to us and reflecting that the conference was not serving anyone. It was really a big commercial of cities and local governments from Brazil talking what they are doing and this. And we also had the opportunity to restart the Climate Council, but the Climate Council was another funny place that we went in the middle of the Climate Week, because there were only like airplanes, entrepreneurs, a little bit civil society, we like youth, and they were just doing like selfies and sending messages to people, and I was like, I don't want to take a selfie, I want us to do something, you know.
Do you think with the Youth Climate Summit a few weeks from now, which will also lead into the Climate Action Summit, do you think anything different will really happen this time when it comes to global climate action?
Well, I think if civil society and governments from all over the world compromise themselves to pressure Brazil for this situation, and for this I'm just speaking from Brazil into Brazil, I mean, and we can have real change. Because I talked to decision makers here in La Climate Week, and the only things they told me was like, Brazil is the leader, we are getting there to do our indices. We are in the front line, we are achieving everything of our goals. And I'm not true, because they said, for example, one of our indices is to end deforestation in 2030. But the deforestation is only increasing. I don't think they, we are achieving it. So, yeah, the decision makers from Brazil, they don't have like any ambitious plan. They just they are going to put in demand like a plan that is from bioenergy. It's okay. The only thing that they are going to present on the Climate Action Summit. And they don't. When we ask them about deforestation, they say, no, that it's not real, that it's not increasing and everything. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Paloma. My last question probably would be this. Earlier, when we started this conversation, you mentioned that you really don't feel so hopeful about climate action and what is happening right now. But you and I are young people. There are millions, probably 1.8 billion other young people on this planet, and we must inspire hope in them, because we are going to be the one left behind after our leaders. So how do you think you can inspire hope to make sure that other young people can join you and I in taking climate actions?
Oh, okay. I think even if I'm so disillusioned right now, I think a way to inspire hope is that at least a few people are waking up for the problems of climate changes, you know. I see that with all these accusations that my government is giving and all the situation in the other side, people are raging. We went to the streets yesterday, that's why I have this voice. And we didn't expect it so much people, because we organized everything like with one day. We started organizing on Thursday, and on Friday we went and we gave misinformation, because I decided something but I forgot to tell some people, so people were really confused. And even we were able to reunite like 200 people in the middle of the street. Wow. Like in a city that wasn't mine, because I live in Brasilia, I was in Salvador, I don't know much people there. And it was really nice to see those people like walking with us. Some people in the middle of the street that were working joining us to ask for this. So I really believe that people are waking up, and for us to inspire them, we have to keep doing our work. With my bicycle collective, for example, I did like a cycle trip last week, and I visited like quilombolas. Quilombolas are traditional people from Brazil.
Okay.
And they got so inspired to see that the quilombolas and the people that went with me, because when we go to do the cycle trip, we are always invite everyone from the city to join us and see how it's possible to do this. And a lot of our friends from the place that we were doing the trip, they started using bicycles, and they said to the community, and they promised us that they are going to come back and see and fight for example, for these quilombolas that we visit, to keep doing their cultures. And this is so nice, because this is how young people get inspired, seeing their reality and seeing that they have the power to take it for themselves and do what they think it's possible to change the world.
It is indeed possible to change the world. Any last word from you?
I think I would just say that we don't need now to pray for the Amazon. We need now to act. So if you think that you can do anything in your power to help the situation in Brazil, please do it. Talk to your government, talk to your friends, tell the real situation, and let's make the world aware, and let's try to stop the fire for taking another spaces of forest. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paloma. Thank you indeed for your time. Thank you for your responses. Pretty emotional conversation, but I am hopeful. This is also my own personal contribution to make sure that the Amazon gets saved. And I understand thousands of other people will be listening and would also get inspired. So I'm sending you love from Nigeria, and hopefully in few days from now we'll have good news from Brazil.
I will. Thank you so much, Dave, for inviting me.
Let me share this whole new world with you.
Well, that's the size of the package on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast. Thank you, Olumide Idowu and Jimoh Oluwatobisegun, great team members on the Climate Talk podcast. Of course, you should watch out for the next episode of the Climate Talk podcast. Is there something you think I should know? Is there something you would like to share with the team? Feel free to write me. My email is shei@climatetalkpodcast.com. Shei is spelled S-E-Y-I. So you have SEYI@climatetalkpodcast.com. I'm very happy to hear from you, to know about what you do, actions you're taking to address climate change in your local environment. Feel free to share with me, and I'm happy to feature all of this on subsequent episodes of the Climate Talk podcast. Please be kind to share this episode of the Climate Talk podcast with your friends and family, people in your network. It's on virtually every platform you can find a podcast, from iTunes to Google Podcasts to Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, Castbox, iHeartRadio. Everywhere you can find a podcast, you will find the Climate Talk podcast there. And be sure to subscribe so you can get subsequent episodes as soon as we make them public, okay? Thank you so much for listening. I have to go, but of course, I'll make a return on another episode of the Climate Talk podcast. Sheifumi Adebote, that's my name.